tell you what, every week I continue to be amazed at you guys. I love your hearts. I love what just happened there. Joyce, thank you for that message. What a simple way to teach children how to share God's love. That was beautiful. Well, this morning, as we come together as Family Day, there's a couple things. First of all, everybody should have received a bulletin this morning. And in that bulletin, there's some fill-in-the-blanks. If you haven't received one, everybody needs one of those, even the children. Could you raise your hand and the ushers will make sure that you get one of those this morning? And while they're doing that, don't do anything with the fill-in-the-blanks. I'll tell you what to do later with that. The only announcement I have this morning is I want to talk about a couple weeks ago, I talked about how as a church we need to read the Bible together. And at the end of that sermon, I had you write down three ways that South Lake would change if all of us read the Bible together. And at the end of that, we collected those responses. Now, first of all, I want to say thank you. Thank you for participating in that and sharing your thoughts with me. I loved them. I read every single last one of them. I loved your honesty. I loved your openness. I could hear the passion in your messages that you were responding back to me. And so we consolidated those, and we couldn't use all of your sentences and that, but we tried to find a central theme with what you were saying. And if you look on the stage behind me in the center, those are your responses, South Lake. That's what you said. And I want you to stay focused on that. Because what we're going to do, we're going to leave that up for quite a while. Because I want you to see that and let it be a goal to you on why we not only have to be engaged in Scripture, but if we're doing that together as a family, as a church, how is that going to transform South Lake? Here's a clue. Those aren't my answers. Those are yours. Your goals are in front of you. Your goals are in front of you. And the one thing I want to point out is in the center, I said this. I believe that South Lake is on the brink of growth, but we're not growing for numbers' sake. God is building an army, not an audience. That's what we're going to do. We're building an army in this process. Amen? Okay. So as we talk about the sermon this morning, we're going to be talking about love, and being Family Day, and we have children present here, I thought, well, how do I do that? How do I talk about family? And the first thing, I started reflecting on my own family. And I got to tell you, and I don't say this to boast, but I think I had the best parents, honestly. They were phenomenal people. My mom grew up in the city, and she believed in culture, and she was raising three boys on a farm, and trying to pour culture into that environment is tough. She struggled with that, but she wanted us to experience music, literature, the arts. She saw the value in sharing that with three dairy farmers. My dad was a farmer. He grew up on a farm. He was a farmer, and he was the best natural-born leader I've ever seen. He had a high school education, but he could get anybody to follow him. And he, not only was he a great leader, but he was a great teacher. Every time I had a question, my dad would stop what he was doing and share with me. And it was so invaluable to me. And if you have any aspect about farming, you know there's never a free moment. There's always work to be done. It never ends. And no matter what question I asked, as silly as it may have been, my dad would stop and he'd pour into me. And he did all this, both my mom and dad did all this because they loved me and they loved my brothers. They wanted us to rise and become more than what we were. And so after my dad passed away, as we were going through his house, we found this cardboard box. And inside the box were all these old family photos. Now, when I say old, some of these went back to the late 1800s. They were prints, actual prints. And they were photos that we didn't know we had of family members. And so I took it upon myself. I started developing a family tree and wanted to get to know my own history a little bit better. And through that, I saw all these, it was a story of very long marriages and healthy relationships throughout that was just embedded in this. And so I was proud of this. I wanted to share it with my family. So I called my wife and my children in, and I was telling them about all this history that I discovered. And the response I kind of got was, eh. And I was like, wow, I thought you'd be a little bit more engaged. And after my kids walked out, Maggie said to me, she goes, you know that hurt, right? And I said, what do you mean that hurt? Now, I've already shared with you, but all three of our kids were adopted. You see, they don't have a family tree that looks like mine. And I didn't think about that. But what I haven't shared with you is my wife grew up in the foster care system. My own wife doesn't even have that. And so when I was boasting and taking so much pride in my heritage, it was hurting them because they didn't have that. And I started thinking to myself, first of all, I'm an idiot. I'm a typical guy. I just don't think sometimes. I speak, and that's what guys do very well. So give us grace. But when I really started reflecting on it, I was like, what is at the core of that? What failed in all of those families? Where's the disconnect? And I found one common denominator. It was love. It was actually the absence of true love is what was going on there, that because these families didn't understand love in the context of how God wants us to see it, there were massive family failures. And so to protect us, to protect the church from that, I want to talk about love this morning. So if you have your Bibles, would you open them up to 1 Corinthians 13 this morning? Now, if you've been in the church for any amount of time, you know that that's called the love chapter, and it's probably something you've probably heard a sermon on before. But I want to present this in a different context. Because this is Family Day, I want to share this in the context of love within your own family. So I want to, hopefully this is a perspective that you haven't seen before as we unpack this. So if you would join me in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, I'll read it and it'll be on the screen behind me. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of our Lord. So Paul is giving this discourse about what love is and how we should view love to the church in Corinth. And he's trying to teach this church how to love. And so he's got to start, well, what is it? And I want to unpack that. So as we go back through this, we go back to verses, the first few verses, starting verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and have all fathom and mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. What Paul is saying here, and I talked about this a few weeks ago, how all of us are given spiritual gifts and we have talents that are meant to help the church grow. Every one of us in here has something unique to bring to the table. And as we become skilled in that, we are to use that. But if that's all we know, if, as an example, if all I do is preach, but I don't love you, then I have nothing, and I will gain nothing. So love is paramount. Paul is saying you can have the greatest faith the man's ever known. When people look at you, they can say, wow, that person has incredible faith. But if you don't have love, it means nothing. So Paul is saying love is paramount as a Christian. And he goes into this next passage, verses 4 through 8. And what Paul is trying to describe is what is love. Now, what's important to see here is Paul gives us a contrast. He says this is what love is, but then he also says this is our tendency in our sinful nature to do the other. So we have this contrast, and you'll hear it as we go through this. So Paul begins in verse 4, love is patient, love is kind. Those are affirming statements. Now here's the contrast. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. Can I share with you, before I really developed a relationship with Christ, that summed my life up? I was an incredibly arrogant, prideful man. Until I came to know the love of God, and that took up over my heart, that's who I was. That is my sinful nature. So Paul is giving this contrast so you can see this is what love is, and it's not, this is what it is not. It does not dishonor others. In other words, it respects others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered, so it's not quick-tempered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. Ever gotten into a heated discussion with somebody, and they say, hey, remember when you did that? That's not love. Love doesn't hold on to that record of wrongs. Love lets go of that. And then it says in verse 7, it always protects. Love always protects, love always trusts, love always hopes, and love always perseveres. It was on that verse that I came to understand the pain within my own family. You see, my wife came from one foster care situation. Jackie, our oldest daughter, came from another. Chelsea and her brother Derek came from another. So there's three different families there that all failed at some point. They failed because they didn't understand love in the context that God wants us to love our families with. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. And now here's the big one. Love always perseveres. That sounds beautiful, but that's the tough one. You see, that means In order for love to persevere, that means you're going through a time of trial. It means you're going through the tough spots in life. Love is what gets us through that. And if we understand that love always perseveres and love never fails, it's in those moments that we have to hang on. Maggie and I have a joke, a running joke in our marriage. We've been married for 28 years, but if I told you